As we enter our Thanksgiving week, beginning tomorrow, actually beginning today. Amen. Sunday to Sunday. I pick my text from Matthew 25 and the first four verses.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Amen. And so, from this scripture, you will notice that there are two groups of Christians: the foolish Christians and the wise Christians, because they are virgins. So they are Christians. And the title for my exhortation, I'll be looking at one of the groups. I titled The Foolish Christian. I want to look at the foolish Christian. And there's nothing I'm saying that is new, but it's just to remind us of what our expectation is. What is the evidence that you're a foolish Christian? I have just one scripture to prove it. It is in Psalm 14, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 14.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God.
Verse 2 again.
The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God.
Understanding there is what makes you wise. Hallelujah. The understanding there is what makes you wise. And why did he say the fool say in his heart? It is simple. If he say in his heart, there is no God, amen. He didn't say with his mouth. He said it with his, in his heart. So how will I hear what you are saying in your heart? It is your lifestyle. A lifestyle that does not acknowledge God is a foolish lifestyle. The Bible says, in all thy ways, hallelujah, in all thy ways, let the technician please turn down the volume of my microphone, please. I can't see him to signal him. I don't know where he has gone to. Please turn down the volume of my microphone is too loud. Thank you. Hallelujah. There is a lifestyle you live and you will not acknowledge God, and yet you claim to be a Christian and you don't acknowledge him in the life you lead, it makes you foolish. And how do you actually tell somebody that you have not acknowledged God? Hallelujah. When you refuse to recognize God, express your recognition. You have to show it. You have to express it. You are actually living a life that shows it is by your power that you are where you are today in life. It is by your power that you are alive today, all through this year. See the accidents. See the robberies, the kidnappings, the terrorism everywhere. Funny sicknesses. People sleep and they don't wake up. See all the dangers everywhere. Kidnappers everywhere. Especially in this part of the world. Even in the advanced countries. You see people will just enter a public place. Innocent people shopping there. and open gunfire and kill those they can kill. And after that, they will kill themselves. Oh, no place is safe again. And yet, none of these dangers has come near you. Hallelujah. And you are thinking it's because you are smart. You are foolish. But you go to church, oh, you don't belong to any other juju. You don't belong to any cult. You don't have any source of protection, oh, just because you have Bible. You go to church on Sunday and then you clap hand and sing and dance and then you go. You are foolish. Go to the hospital and see the condition of some sick people. Go and see how people are suffering. Your business is moving very well. There are some people that their businesses are folding up. The position that you have occupied today in your office. Amen. You've been receiving your promotion steady. It's because you're very smart, isn't it? There are people that are smarter than you. That's right. They don't get promoted. I am very hardworking. That's why I'm making money. There are people that are working harder than you. They're not making money. You think you are smart. There are people that are smarter than you. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, your ministry. You just shake head like this. Vision will appear. You just shake head like this. Sydney. Ogwaje. You just shake hand like this. It will talk. Meanwhile, throughout this year, Sydney, you don't go mountain, no. You go any mountain. There are people that have been in the mountain looking for that your gift from January. Oh,
that's right.
Oh, it is because there is something you are doing that they are not doing, Abby.
At all.
Even in your ministry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're a very beautiful girl. Now you create yourself like that. You went somewhere that other people don't know. And you got the secret and created yourself beautiful. Hey. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You receive favor anywhere. And you want to post. This is the reason why anywhere I go, I receive favor. Too many reasons for you to thank God. If that is how you are thanking, you are living your life without gratitude to God, without acknowledging Him, and yet you're a Christian, the Bible calls you a fool. Hallelujah. I told you some time ago, I said I woke up and when my son came back from school in the afternoon, I asked him, when you woke up, did you pray before going out? You rushed to school. He said, no. I said, you're a fool. He said, ah, daddy, I said, the Bible call you a fool. It is foolish for you to wake up and refuse to acknowledge God and begin a new day. It is foolish for you to come back after going up and down before you sleep without praying to acknowledge Him who saw you through the whole day. And you just sleep off. You are a fool. Ask your neighbor, are you a fool? Are you a fool? Are you a foolish Christian? The Bible says, maybe let's read some scripture because there are some lawyers here. Before somebody would think that I am being hypothetical. And then, I'm not speaking hypothetically. Mommy, I'm not speaking hypothetically. I am quoting the scripture. This is thus saith the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Listen to what He told the children of Israel from verse 10. after they reached the promised land. Listen.
When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee.
You will do what? You will
bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given
thee.
That
is the acknowledgement. Go on.
Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou wast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted
up. Then your heart will be lifted up.
And thou forget
you
the Lord
thy God. You will be lifted up as if it is your effort that has gotten you to where you are. And your heart will do what?
Forget the Lord thy God.
You will now forget to acknowledge God.
Which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage.
You know what you were. You know the story of how you began. I prayed for a sister. I was asking her. She's sitting down there. Is listening to me. She has a problem in her neck. And when I asked her, what caused this? She said when she was growing up, she suffered. It was the weight of a hawk. I used to put load on head to go and hawk as a little child that affected that neck bone. Wait. Can you see the history? But now she's a multi-millionaire, if not even a billionaire. Now, when you are full, read that verse again. That is her testimony. I know many more here.
Then that verse 14.
I have gone to dedicate a brother's house, and he told me how he came here with nothing, absolutely nothing. But now see the property he owns. And not just that, many of us, including me here, we all have the story of where God brought us out from. What did he say?
Verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that in my humble thee,
humble
and,
you,
and that in my prove thee,
prove you,
to do thee good at thy latter end, and thou say in thy
instead
acts,
instead of that, you begin to live a lifestyle that says what?
My power.
My own power.
And the might of my hand.
It is my ability of my hand
that's gotten me this
that has brought all that I have today. You are a fool. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to myself too. But what?
But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. That he may establish his covenant which is swear unto thy
for
fathers.
For it is God that giveth thee the ability, the power to get the wealth that you have today. And when we say wealth here, wealth is in various forms. Nobody operates in the same way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your wealth may be that one car that you have. There's somebody that cannot even afford a bicycle. So you are wealthy. Your wealth may be the job you are doing until you have the ability to pay your rent without the landlord reminding you, you are wealthy. Amen. It's your wealth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. Your wealth may be the wardrobe that you change cloth every day. Sister, brother, it's your wealth. There are people that don't have that much cloth to wear. You change your shoe, they're different style. It is your wealth. It is your wealth. It may be that one room and parlor, that boy's quarters that you built in your plot of land, some other persons don't even have one room to stay in. That is your wealth. When we say wealth, We are not saying, don't say, I am not yet wealthy. Anything you have is your wealth, and it is God that has given you. It's God that has given you. You didn't get it on your own. Don't, you will know the value if that thing is taken away from you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, many times, Pastor Moses will stand at the altar and then say, since 1989, I have had no need to go and take any injection in any hospital, to go to the hospital and be admitted for anything. Anytime I say it, after I say it, I will go back to my room and kneel and say, Father, no be boss at the boss, now you are the give glory. No, let them fool. Come and close my mouth too. Why? Because in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, what did the Lord say? Concerning your health.
And said, if thou would diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and we do that which is right in his sight, and we give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon
thee.
Are
you seeing it?
Which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Again, that last sentence.
For I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Again, says the Lord.
For I am the Lord that healeth thee.
So, Pastor Moses, don't say, it is because I do this. It is because I do this. It is because I do this. It is the Lord that healeth thee. You must give acknowledgement for that. Oh, I have houses here. I have built this here. I have built this here. Psalm 127 verse 1. What did he say? Concerning all the property you own that you have
bought. Except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain.
So that you have the ability to finish the building and even have more buildings. Hey, it is the Lord that is building it. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If after you finish building it, then you begin to boast, I, you are a fool. The Bible says so. Am I insulting anybody? Yes, I'm insulting you. You are a fool. If that is your lifestyle. Praise the Lord. When you tell somebody who he is, you say, you are insulting me. If that is the meaning of insult, I insult you in the name of Jesus. You are a fool. If that is your lifestyle, and you are a Christian, whatever, wherever you achieve is by the mercy of God. It's by the mercy. And to acknowledge the mercy of God is to stand and begin to say, why did he among my mother's children bless me like this? Why did he choose to bless me? You don't know, for somebody like me that come from a family of very devoted Muslims, you don't know how every day it makes me thank him for my salvation. Their eyes are blind, but my own, my eyes are open. Not because I did anything, but he by himself decided to open my eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they are more religious than me. My senior sister, same father, same mother, if you see her forehead, the dedication, devotion, 5 times in a day, she doesn't miss it. There's a spot that she hits the ground. And she was doing that. While she was doing that, I was smoking Igbo. I was going from nightclub to nightclub. He loves me. I cannot tell why. Oh, he loves me.
I cannot tell.
Listen, hallelujah. I am never taking that for granted. It humbles me. No matter how I preach Christ to them, they can't see it. No matter how I preach Christ, they can't see it. And I didn't go to a school that they cannot go. I didn't climb a mountain that they cannot climb. I didn't do anything that they cannot do. I was sitting down inside the prison yard. He brought me out of the miry clay. That's my testimony.
He set my feet on the rock to stay.
And he put a song in my ear. That's my testimony. That's my testimony. Hallelujah. I never take my salvation for granted. It keeps me humble. 3 days ago, in my usual Thanksgiving prayer, I found myself singing this song, and I sang it for a long time. It says, I was lost and undone, without God nor his son. When he reached out his hands for me, when he reached down his hands for me, when he reached down his hands for me, I was lost and undone, without God or his son. Out of my eyes, and tears were coming out to see the mercy of God. I didn't deserve it, and every day he makes me know him better and better and better. The day he came down and called me his son, hey, I can never forget that day. Me, the son of the creator of the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That God should love a sinner such as I.
How wonderful is God like this?
Such love.
Such love.
Such love. Hallelujah. There's something about this God. There is something he lives with you to make you remember where you come from. Like that sister, you are watching me now. I don't want people to know what they talk about. Anytime you feel that pain in the neck, it's a reminder of where he brought you from. You have been praying. Why is he not taking you away? It is to humble you. Everyone that is a partaker of the mercy of God, God will remind you, leave something in your life that will remind you of where you come from. Where he brought you out from is to keep you humble and to make you acknowledge him. Jehoshaphat caught it. As carnal as they are, a battle to finish them is before them. And the Lord come down and say, don't worry, the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to me. Even in our estate. Then he said, for his mercies endure forever.
Amen.
Oh,
for his mercies endure forever.
One of them. You look at the Psalms. David will always remember what he was doing, his job. He was a shepherd. taking care of sheep in the field. He was not a politician. He was not looking for appointment. He was not doing politics. He was just humbly in the bush with animals. God brought him to make him the king of Israel. He never forgets to mention it. Always. Hallelujah. It humbles you. That is the only thing that will make you live a life of gratitude. And that life is not between you and any human being. You don't owe any human being any explanation. You don't owe anybody. You don't owe your husband. You don't owe your wife. You don't owe your children. You don't owe your father. You don't owe your mother. It is a relationship between you and God. That is what makes you wise. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. He said it.
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart.
You say you should trust in him. Trust in him. And there is no way you can trust in God until the day you catch a revelation of God's mercies upon your life, God's faithfulness upon your life, and his grace upon your life, till the day you get to know that who you are is by the mercy of God. You will trust in him. Go on.
And lean not unto thy own
understanding. Unto your abilities. Your abilities. Your own wisdom.
In all thy ways. Acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths.
In all, everything you do, acknowledge God. And when you do that, there is a blessing that follows you.
He shall direct thy paths.
He will direct your path. You can never go wrong in anything you do. You can never go wrong in anything you do. Read on, please.
Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance.
Before I come to verse 9, remember that the Bible says, without God, we can do nothing. That is why you must acknowledge him. Without God, you can do nothing. That's the summary of the reason for you to trust him. That's the summary of the reason for you to hold on to him. That is the summary of the reason to acknowledge him. Every aspect of your life. And there are benefits to appreciating God. And last year, I gave so many reasons. I mean, so many benefits. You can go back to the tape, but I can just recall a few of them. Now, the first one is that God sees you as a grateful person. When you acknowledge him by thanking him, one of the ways to acknowledge God is thanksgiving. And it has benefits. We know the story in Luke chapter 17 of the 10 lepers. He has healed them and they left. It was on their way that they noticed the miracle had taken place after the prayer of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus was expecting them to come and thank him. Brethren, when God blesses you, he expects you to come and thank him. He expects you to come and thank him. And only one came back. The fact, hallelujah, that only one came back is a revelation. It is wisdom. That means among the 10 that came, there were two groups of believers. One was wise. 9 of them foolish. Always, the majority are always foolish. The majority are always foolish. Oh, Satan knows how to make to deceive you so that you will live a limited lifestyle. Hallelujah. And God was happy. So God saw Christ saw that leper that was healed as a grateful person. And number two, the testimony behind that thanksgiving becomes permanent. Because he told him, your faith has made thee whole. Chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, verse 19.
And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
And I have been saying it over and over and over that from this scripture, it lets me know that that testimony you have becomes permanent only if you acknowledge the God that healed you, that blessed you, that promoted you, that married, gave you husband, gave you good wife. That is the only time that testimony becomes permanent. And he said, thy faith there is your revelation. The revelation that you should come back and thank me. That revelation has made you whole. Those nine, they are not yet whole. Wait and see. After some time, that sickness will come back. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. And number three, when you grumble, God is unhappy with you. You displease God. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Apostle Paul was mentioning the journey in the wilderness. How many people started the journey? So many of them. Almost 2 million people, as some say. But out of the generation that left Egypt, that generation that left and passed through the Red Sea and saw water on the rock come out, they saw manna fall from heaven. They saw the miracle. That generation, only two in that generation made it to the promised land. Only two. The only reason is because they were not acknowledging God. Every little opportunity that we forget what God has done before and start to grumble, and start to grumble. I don't know whether this is manipulation, that is your own way of calling my attention, but it's a big mistake to somebody like me. When you call me and say, Pastor, is this God real? Pastor, do I have any reason to keep serving this God? If it is a text, I will just delete it and block your number. If me as a human being will act like that, what of God himself? Maybe you think if you speak like that, then I will handle your case. Then I'll be following you. Follow who? Follow an ungrateful heart. You only look at what you want that you didn't get. You don't look at what you didn't even pray for, he did for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anytime you grumble, you are forgetting his benefits. Psalm 103. Let's read it from verse 1.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Keep reading.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits.
There are benefits of not forgetting God. He has benefits of serving him. Benefits of making him your God, which you have been enjoying. What are they?
Who forgiveth all thy
iniquities. See all the yama yama lifestyle you are living, and yet he doesn't use it against you. Merciful God.
Who healeth all thy diseases.
Oh, that sickness that you think it is Panadol that healed you, another person, the same Panadol he took didn't work, he died of the same sickness.
Who redeemed a life from destruction.
What of all the dangers around? Did he come near you? Abba, you read it every time in social media, everywhere.
Who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Tender, every day you see it.
Who satisfied the mouth with good things.
The mouth with good things. You are saying that he didn't give you job, but you have been eating. Have you not been eating? Okay now. Praise the Lord.
So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
You are from since the past 3 years you graduated, no job. Yet when you walk out, they go, somebody will stop you on the road and say, please, can you help me? He see you looking very fresh. He see you like somebody who has it. Can't you see how God has covered with a glory you're not even recognizing? Read it up to verse 10. See the benefit of this to God.
The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
Do you know how many battles he has fought for you? See, what did he say?
He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel.
So you can see, you have evidence of the reality of God all around you.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy.
Hey, that is who our God is.
He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our
sins. Can't you see?
Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
Abba. If God will mark iniquity, who will stand before him? If God will count all your sins that you have been committing, who will justify himself before God? And the effect of not recognizing this benefit, listen very well, like it happened in the wilderness, you will not reach your destiny. Destiny is destination. That's the reason why the dream you have is delayed. That's the reason why the prophecy you receive doesn't come to pass. That's the reason why your aspirations, your goals, are not able to achieve them. None of them that grumble in the wilderness reach the promised land that they were on their journey to. He said, because of unbelief. They did not recognize God. But Joseph, in any condition he was in, he acknowledged God. He had a dream. His focus was on that dream. That he would be a king one day. But whether he found himself rejected by his brothers, it did not affect his relationship with God. Inside prison yard, it did not affect his relationship with God. He was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife. He didn't go to God and say, God, you are allowing this to happen. You see how I have lived righteously. You see, I have not defied myself. I don't lie. I pay my tithe. I do this one. Now you are still allowing this thing. Wrong accusation to send me to prison. God, are you still there? What made him wise is a knowledge that all things work together for good. In all things, give God thanks. He is in charge of your life. Number four, thanksgiving life is an insurance against trouble. Hallelujah. That's what Psalm 50 verse 14 and verse 15 says. That's the meaning of Psalm 50 verse 14.
Offer unto God thanksgiving.
What did he say again?
Offer unto God thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble.
In the day of trouble, if you live a life of thanksgiving, of praising God, of worshiping Him, of acknowledging Him, under that estate of your mind, call upon me. This is thus said the Lord. In the day of trouble, what will happen?
I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Because you already live a life of giving glory to God. And God will continually put you in position to every day glorify Him. Every testimony you have is opportunity to glorify the name of the Lord. That's why He's blessing you. His food is to receive glory. Oh, glory be to God. You deny Him glory, you are starving God of His food too. And number five, when you praise God, when you acknowledge God, like I said, God is glorified. It gives Him the glory that is due to Him. For He will not share His glory with any man. He will not share His glory with you. That says Psalm 50 and verse 23 says so. That is the meaning of that verse.
Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God.
Anytime you offer praise to Him, You are glorifying him. The glory belongs to him. And he will not share his glory with any man. The Bible says so. Number six. Hallelujah. Anytime you praise God, amen, you move God with joy to bless you more. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7, the dedication of the temple by Solomon. And see what Solomon did that day.
And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it.
How many burnt offerings?
1,000.
How many burnt offerings?
1,000 burnt offerings.
And see the effect of that offering he offered.
In that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee.
Hallelujah. He did not ask God for anything. No. He did not pray that he is made a king. He was now, sorry, it was thanksgiving for being a king. And now that he's a king, the first thanksgiving he will go to acknowledge God. He offered 1,000. Do you know what 1,000 cows or sheep will look like? 1,000. I want you to notice something. Amen. Does God eat meat? Does God eat the pawpaw? Does God drink mineral? Does God spend money? Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Was it the 1,000 offering that God was paying him back? No, it was the gratitude from the heart that he was acknowledging. It was the gratitude in his heart that he was demonstrating. It was not the quantity. Of course, the gratitude determines the quantity you bring before him. Because in that verse 9 of Proverbs chapter 3, what did he say?
Honor the Lord with thy substance.
What did he say?
Honor the Lord with thy substance.
If you are going to honor him, don't honor him with mouth only. What did he say?
Honor the Lord with thy
with
substance.
With something substantial.
And with the first fruits of all thy increase.
That is, when God increases you, that is from where we get tithes and the first fruit offerings. Bring it connected. What will happen when you do that?
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty.
Can you see?
And thy presses shall burst forth.
Listen very
wine.
Well. Listen very well. Dissect that scripture very well. He says, honor the Lord. Thank him. Acknowledge him. When you bring an offering, follow, you didn't pray. You didn't pray. But there is something that will happen. What will happen in verse 10?
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
That is the benefit of acknowledging God. And thanking him. Praise the Lord. Even kings. When you need favor from kings, you go with offering. Herod was celebrating his birthday. His wife's daughter, Herodias' daughter, came to dance to rejoice with him. She did not dance so that the king would give her anything. No. She was joining the king to rejoice. And the king was so happy. He called her. Come. He was so happy. Come. God did it with Solomon. Herod did it with Herodias' daughter. Anything you ask, anything, even if it is half of my kingdom, I will give you. You have made me happy. That is the power of praise. That's the power of thanksgiving. Without praying, you know, without praying, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is generally spoken. Number 7 points. It is generally spoken, and everybody knows that statement, that when you pray, God will send his angel to work for you. We saw that in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 21. While Daniel set his face Hallelujah. Immediately he started to pray. God sent. While I was speaking in prayer, what happened?
Even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fight swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation.
So as he was praying, God sent an angel. But you know what? One thing is that, yes, the prayer will last longer because it is an angel that God sent to come. And the principality and power can stop the angel. Can delay your blessing. But when you praise God, he comes down himself. Why? Psalm 22, verse 3, 4, and 5. Psalm 22.
But thou art holy.
Listen.
O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
What does he do, verse 3?
O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
What did he say?
O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
When you praise God, God himself will come down for that matter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many people will catch the power of praise? Praise, praise, praise. Hallelujah. He inhabits our praises. A lot of miracles take place when we are worshiping God. That's the reason we give enough time to praise God here. Worship him. When you are praising him, without you asking him to do anything for you, he will begin to bless you. When you finish praising, some sicknesses disappear. When you are praising, he's fighting a battle somewhere there for you. Praise the Lord. Therefore, let thanksgiving be part of your life. Let it be part of your daily life. That's what makes you a wise Christian. Because there are benefits attached to it. You will lose these benefits if you don't live a grateful life, a life of thanksgiving. Put on a grateful heart. Put on a grateful heart. No matter what condition, you find yourself like Job. Everything he had perished. Don't grumble because you are having a setback in your life, in any area of your life, your marriage, your business, your finance, your health. It is temporary. In that situation, in every circumstance, give thanks. In every circumstance, in any situation you are in, while you are in that situation, give thanks, for that is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. The Bible says so. Job is a perfect example. All his children die one day. When he should grumble up, how faithful I have been serving you. All, everything I have. He bowed before the Lord and worshiped God and gave him thanks. The Bible says so. How many people will accept? He didn't understand what was happening. All his businesses died one day. Upon that one, a disease came upon him. And everybody will say, it is because he doesn't pay tithe. But he said he pays his tithe, even extra. Okay. And it is because he has secret sin. I have searched myself. I even made a covenant with my eye that I will not set my eye on another woman. Okay. Even for my children, I normally offer offerings for them. In case when they go out, they commit any nyama, God will have mercy upon them. I know the life that I live. This is my mouth. I have never lied with it. I know my testimony. Why is this happening to you? The wife is saying, better curse God and die. And he said, you are foolish. Don't speak like some of these foolish people. Will I receive good from God and not receive bad? Because my life is dictated by God. It pleases him to bless me. If it pleases me, please him to take away all that he has given me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord give it, the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many people have revelation to that level? In this age, be sincere with yourself. In this age, praise the Lord. When anytime you receive a promise from God, thus said the Lord, thank him. And after the promise has come to pass, thank him. You have a dream of something good, thank him. And when the dream comes to pass, thank him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why he says you should honor him. And when you are thanking him, make sure you thank him with a substance. In this age now, everything is virtually monetized. And we also have our apps. Money now is electronic money. So you don't have to wait until the day of service. If you are able to make the transfer, as you finish thanking God, you say, Lord, I send my offering to so-so-so ministry, so-so-so account in the name of Jesus. Let it be for the progress of the gospel. Send it. And if you want to wait to come to church, when you come, express your gratitude. Praise the Lord. He said, do it with a substance. The mystery of offering. The mystery of offering. During the vigil, I gave you a testimony that a sister shared with me this last Friday night. That I didn't know. She married and after some time waiting for the fruit of the womb, she said the Lord spoke to her not by another prophet. God talks to her too. A voice of the Spirit of God spoke to her. He said, go and drop an offering for me, 10,000 naira offering for me. I have blessed you with a son. Told her to take 10, he said it was specific, 10,000 naira and drop it at the altar, for I have blessed you with a son. He said it came in December of that year. And she was wondering how she would do it. Anyway, eventually, she dropped the 10,000 naira. Maybe a month later, she dropped the 10,000 naira or so. And she said she was just walking now. This is now February of the next year. And one of the prophets in the church saw her and said, sister, you know you are pregnant. Do you know you are pregnant? No, she said no, because she was still seeing her menses. And it was in the month of March. Something made her to go and check. And they said she was already 3 months pregnant. And for 3 months, she had been seeing her menses. And then she gave birth to that baby boy. Praise the Lord. Now those of us who are students of the things of the Spirit, I will ask, why will God say, bring 10,000 naira for me? I bless you with a son. Why? Amen. To me, praise the Lord. It's a principle he's teaching us. Immediately you find out, oh, you're looking for fruit of the womb. You see yourself carrying a baby in the spirit, in a dream. God has given you a baby. When you wake up, go and thank God with an offering for the promise. A prophet gives you a revelation of any blessing at all, including fruit of the womb. Go and thank him with an offering. And when you are now coming, after you have given birth, you are coming to dedicate the child. Don't just come and start here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The mama will say, thank you, Lord Jesus. You're not going here and here today. They will come here today. You don't find out how many of them are coming here with offering. The father will say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Then they will go and cook food for their neighbors to go and eat. But before the Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Next one time, they say, Pastor, since after that one, you don't need 10 years now. Another one never come. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. Hey. If you're a seed of God, be careful. Praise the Lord. All of you that came for dedication, if you come and dedicate your child here, without an offering, you're a fool. The Bible says so. You see foolish ones today here now. It should not be a law. Some churches make it a law. The reason is because they use it as opportunity to have money from for the ministry. You know, we will never do that. And my own is to teach you. If you like, do it. If you like, don't do it. If you like, pay your tithe. If you like, don't pay your tithe. If you like, bring offering. If you like, support the ministry in any way. The truth about it is, if you don't do it, God will raise another person to do it. That is the truth. But I have an obligation to teach you. And I will never query you for not doing it. It's between you and God. But if Nami bless you, then I would demand it from you. But since I'm not the one that bless you, praise the Lord. I was sharing something in Cameroon. I don't know whether I said it here. I said there is a young man that is in abusing me in social media. His name is Raphael. You know, every day, Nami be his page. His page is dedicated to abusing me. There is nothing I do. Even now, he's very interested in this church. He's an online member. He's watching us now. You are watching us now. You are looking at us now. But you hate me, yet you cannot stay away from this church. And so somebody was replying him. You are abusing this man. You came to this church with so sickness, with so sickness, with so sickness, that you know you almost died. And he is the one that prayed for you and you were healed. In the Facebook, he replied, "It's not Pastor Moses that healed me, it's God that healed me." And I said, "He is correct. Even if I heal you, will lie, I will put back the sickness on you. But since I am not the one that healed you, I have no claim over it." He is revelated. He's very, very revelated. It's not me that healed you, Raphael. It's God. But make sure you give him glory. Make sure you give him glory. Not me. I have no part in it. If I have power to heal you, when I see you abusing me, I will collect the sickness and put it double fold on you. The Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when people want to attract attention to their Facebook page, they will go to popular people and be looking for trouble there. They'll look for trouble there. Amen. I'm happy that I am in a position that you can use me and have a blessing. Attract people and become relevant. Amen. A tree that has no fruit, who they go there? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Acknowledge him. That is all I'm saying. Because the Bible says something. Hallelujah. It is the way the life you live. He said the wicked will do wickedly, but the wise will understand. What makes you wise? Like I always say, praise the Lord. It's the life that you live. It's the revelation. The life you live is dictated by your knowledge of how to walk with God. It is called faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hallelujah. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. God, can we read it? I think that is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Verse 6, read it from verse 4.
By faith,
you see, ahem,
Abel offered unto God a more excellent
by
sacrifice.
By revelation, two people, Cain and Abel, offered sacrifice. One did it by revelation. The other one did not have the revelation of how to bring offering, sacrifice to God for sin that they committed. Read it again.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
Uh-huh.
By which he obtained witness that he was righteous,
uh-huh,
God testifying of his gift,
uh-huh,
and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
Uh-huh.
By faith Enoch was translated.
Revelation,
Uh-huh. Enoch was translated, I should not see death, uh-huh. and was not found because God had translated him. Uh-huh. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Uh-huh. But without faith,
but without revelation,
it is impossible to please him.
It is not possible to please God. You cannot serve God without the revelation of how he wants you to relate with him. For he that will come to God must believe that God is God, he's not a man.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently.
When you catch a revelation, follow him diligently in that line of revelation. He will reward you. Job, letter end was better than his beginning. Oh, yes. It's an example there, perfect example there for us. That is what Apostle James was saying in James chapter 2 from verse 17. Read it up to verse 20 about faith. Uh-huh.
Even so, faith.
Faith, if you have faith, revelation.
If it hath not works, is dead, being alone.
Just like Apostle John the Baptist said, when the Pharisees had his message, they were coming and were receiving baptism. They were baptizing. What did he say?
He said,
you generation of vipers, who told you to run away from the rod that is coming? Then he said, look, you are all running now and coming as if you are repented. The evidence you have repented, he said, bring forth fruit.
Meat for repentance.
Suitable that will show you have repented. Water baptism is not the evidence. It is the life that you live. You say you have faith. Yea. A man, read on.
Verse 18. Yea, a man said thou hast faith and uh-huh. I have works.
Uh-huh. You have faith, Abby, but me, my own, I show my faith by the things that I do. Go on.
Show me thy faith without my works.
How can you have faith without evidence?
And I will show thee my faith by my works.
The revelation, the life I live is the evidence of my revelation. Read on.
Thou believest that there is one God.
Yes.
Thou doest well. The devils also believe.
Satan also believe.
And tremble.
That there is one God and he's afraid. He trembles. So don't think because you say, oh God, it's not enough. There is something that is expected of a lifestyle.
But we don't know, oh vain man.
Listen.
That faith without works is dead.
Faith without works. If you say, you have revelation and you have nothing to show to prove it that your faith is unprofitable to you. And in verse 26, what did he say?
For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Again.
For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
It is what you do that keeps your revelation alive. So when we talk about Thanksgiving, I'm not just talking about Thanksgiving as a day. I'm talking about a lifestyle. A life of gratitude. Even among ourselves, among human beings. If you bless somebody, you do a favor to anybody, and he doesn't prove it. He doesn't acknowledge it, I mean to say. When he comes back, do you remember him again? Sometimes you even block his phone number. There are people that remember you only when they have problem. They won't even call you to say, how are you? They only remember us ministers. Every time they call you, they are bringing one problem. Hello, pastor. Hey, so yesterday I couldn't sleep. They attack me, or attack me, or attack me. Or then you are in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You will not hear again from that. 1 week after, pastor, they don't come again, no. They don't come again, no. When next you see that call coming, you say, it don't come again. But there are some that when they call you, they will say, pastor, I want your account number. That one, even if they don't call you, you will call them. Now, how are you? I'm not saying you should be sending offering to me. It's not just to me, to your father, to your mother, to your boss, to anybody at all. Learn to have a relationship that is not parasitic. Learn to have a relationship that is not parasitic. Not parasitic. That should be mutual. Relationship should be mutual. Should be mutual. Praise the Lord. Psalm 116. Amen. Let's close on some of these scriptures. Verse 12 to 14. What does the Bible
what
say?
What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards
for
me?
For all his benefits, what will you render unto the Lord? What will you render unto the Lord? I don't want you to read any further. I want you to answer this question by yourself. What will I render? It is only a grateful heart that will ask that question. What will I render unto the Lord for all his benefit? Psalm 13 verse 6. Psalm 13 and verse 6.
I will sing unto the Lord.
This is one of the things I will do.
Because he has dealt bountifully
you see,
with
and
me.
Singing here is giving praise to God. Read on. Psalm 95 again. Let's read the, from verse 1 there. Listen to people who have grateful hearts.
Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Did you hear him say, let us, we as a church, coming Sunday, 3rd of December, our annual Thanksgiving. Listen, what did he say? Come.
Let us make a joyful
let
noise.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence.
With what?
With thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto him
oh,
with
oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Why? For the Lord is a great God.
And a great King above all
gods. And you can read the whole of that psalm and see the reason we must come together and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalm 117, verse 1 and 2, what did he say?
Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us.
Towards me or towards us?
Towards us.
Us as a fellowship. Us as a church.
And the truth of the Lord endureth forever.
Oh, glory be to
praise
God.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, I believe that this songwriter by the name of Don Moen, that was what he captured as he reflected in the kind of grumbling life he was living. And he sang this song. Listen to that song. Song.
I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, forgive me. And I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me. But now, oh Lord, I see my my heart and show yourself strong, and in my eyes and with my song, O Lord, be magnified. O Lord, be magnified. And I have leaned on the wisdom of men. Forgive me, and I have responded to them. Instead, of your light and your mercy. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. And in my eyes and with my song,
Lord,
Lord to strengthen you in that area, that the Lord will give you a grateful heart. Open your mouth and ask God for a grateful heart. A grateful heart. Let me never live an ungrateful life. An ungrateful life. Let me acknowledge you. Keep me humble to recognize you in every aspect of my life. That's between you and God. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him.
Thou knowest all my weakness. Thou knowest all my tears.
Talk to him. He's hearing you.
Precious bronze.
Talk to him. He's hearing you. Acknowledge you every aspect of my life, every day, every day, every day. That's between you and God. That's between you and God now. Christians have this foolish lifestyle. Yet you're a Christian, yet you are a son of God, a daughter of God. Confirm. Confirm. Now, sort it out. Let it be your prayer point every day. Give me a grateful heart. A grateful heart. Let me know that I am where I am because of you. Without you, I can do nothing. Help me to trust you. Depend on you totally, Lord. Yes. As an expression of humility before God. We pray. This is not a prayer point only for now. I expect you in your daily prayer points to include, Lord, give me a humble spirit, a humble heart. Learn to acknowledge God. Never boast of any ability you have, because there is nothing you have that was not given to you, including that grace you have. If it's given to you, then why the boast? He showed Nebuchadnezzar that he's the one that gave him all those kingdoms, not because he's a warrior. Turn him to an animal. And when he came back to life, you know the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. From that day, he mouth to close. Herod sat down. He was accepting worship. Kai, this man is God. Kai, this man. The voice is of a God. And then he was acting like a God. He sat down and the angel struck him. And the worm began to eat his skin before everybody. They were looking at a king. To dishonor God. To that level, you want to share his glory as a God. You are finished. Don't play God before the people you have employed. Don't play God before people you are better than. Don't play God. You don't have the final say over anybody's life. You don't have the final say over anybody's life. Don't play God over your wife because she's depending on you. Don't play God over your family, members of your family, because they are depending on you. You are the one taking care of them. You do that, he will humble you. Remove everything you have. Then your eye go clear. I'm talking to Christians. Unbelievers can do it. Their punishment is reserved. But you, your own, you will pay for it here, 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 here. I'm talking to the children of God. Hallelujah. We set aside 1 week every year as our Thanksgiving week. And for all the members of this ministry, both here and online, it begins from this night. It begins from today, this night. Hallelujah. Throughout this week, till Sunday, don't ask God for anything. Only thanks, thanks, thanks. Prayer group, I hope you are hearing me. I'll be here. Let me hear anybody say, anybody when say, no go make and this year, die by fire. I will come and close the prayer meeting. I will close it. You are an ungrateful prayer group. In fact, you are a foolish prayer group. All of you in that group are fools. If you are not foolish, a member will go to the leader. They say, please, this is our Thanksgiving week. Stop that prayer. Your morning devotion with your family, thanks. Everywhere you go, thanks. Appreciating. Appreciating. This is our Thanksgiving week. Your midnight prayer before you sleep, thanks. Thank him for the reason from January until now. He said, count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And this is how we will round it up on Sunday. On Sunday,